A disgrace to the profession. The world scientists in their own words. On Michael E. Mann, his hockey stick, and their damage to science. Volume 1. Compiled and edited by Mark Stein. Illustrated by Josh. Narrated by Melissa Howes. Published by Stockade Books. All rights reserved. Scientist number 59. Quote, scientists like Mike Mann, Phil Jones, and others should no longer participate in the peer review process. Closed quote. Professor Hans van Storch, Ph.D., professor at the University of Hamburg's Meteorological Institute and director of the Institute for Coastal Research at the Helmholtz Research Center. Recipient of the International Meetings on Statistical Climatology Achievement Award. Member of the advisory boards of the Journal of Climate and Annals of Geophysics. Former editor-in-chief of Climate Research. Mark. Professor von Storch was one of the first climate scientists to be critical in public and on the record about Mann's hockey stick, going so far as to describe it as quatsch. Nonsense or rubbish in a story in Der Spiegel, headlined Die Kurve ist Quatsch, or to retain the alliteration, The Curve is Crap. Quote, methodologically, it is wrong. One could also say, nonsense. Close quote. Mark. In November 2009, a few days after the ClimateGate revelations, Professor von Storch wrote in English of Mann and Company's emails. Quote, there are a number of problematic statements which will be discussed in the media and the blogosphere. I found the style of communication revealing, speaking about other people and their ideas, joining forces to, quote-unquote, kill papers, exchanges of improving presentations without explaining. Also, mails from to Eduardo Zurita and myself are included. Also, we have been subject of frequent mentioning, usually not in a flattering manner. Interesting exchanges and evidences are contained about efforts to destroy climate research that we, in the heydays of the hockey stick debate, shared our ECOG data with our adversaries, and that Mike Mann was successful to exclude me from a review-type meeting on historical reconstructions in Wengen, demonstrating again his problematic but powerful role of acting as a gatekeeper. I would assume that more interesting issues will be found in the files, and that a useful debate about the degree of politicization of climate science will emerge. A conclusion could be that the principle, according to which data must be made public, so that also adversaries may check the analysis, must be really enforced. Another conclusion could be that scientists like Mike Mann, Phil Jones, and others should no longer participate in the peer review process or in assessment activities like IPCC. Mark. This would have been about the very minimum one might have expected after the disclosures of paranoia and cronyism among those who purported to speak for thousands of scientists from the collected member states of the United Nations. Yet, after the initial outrage, Big Climate dug in, adding to the hidden data and corruption of peer review, yet another failing, an inability to self-correct. Scientist number 60, quote, it is the greatest and most successful pseudoscientific fraud I have seen in my long life as a physicist. Closed quote. Professor Harold Lewis, Ph.D., 1923 to 2011, Emeritus Professor of Physics at the University of California, Santa Barbara, member of the U.S. Defense Science Board and chairman of the 1977 to 79 Risk Assessment Review for the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, recipient of the Science Writing Award for his book Technological Risk, Norton, New York, 1990. Mark. On October 6, 2010, Professor Lewis, one of the American Physical Society's most distinguished members, wrote to its president, Curtis Callan, Jr. Quote, dear Kurt, when I first joined the American Physical Society 67 years ago, it was much smaller, much gentler, and as yet uncorrupted by the money flood, a threat against which Dwight Eisenhower warned a half century ago. Indeed, the choice of physics as a profession was then a guarantor of a life of poverty and abstinence. The prospect of worldly gain drove few physicists. How different it is now. For reasons that will soon become clear, my former pride at being an APS fellow all these years has been turned into shame, and I am forced, with no pleasure at all, to offer you my resignation from the society. It is, of course, the global warming scam, with the literally trillions of dollars driving it, that has corrupted so many scientists and has carried APS before it like a rogue wave. It is the greatest and most successful pseudoscientific fraud I have seen in my long life as a physicist. Anyone who has the faintest doubt that this is so should force himself to read the ClimateGate documents, which lay it bare. Montford's book, The Hockey Stick Illusion, organizes the facts very well. I don't believe that any real physicist, nay, scientist, can read that stuff without revulsion. I would almost make that revulsion a definition of the word scientist. The ClimateGate scandal broke into the news, and the machinations of the principal alarmist were revealed to the world. It was a fraud on a scale I have never seen, and I lack the words to describe its enormity. Effect on the APS position? None. None at all. This is not science. Other forces are at work. There are indeed trillions of dollars involved, to say nothing of the fame and glory and frequent trips to exotic islands that go with being a member of the club. Your own physics department, of which you are a chairman, would lose millions a year if the global warming bubble burst. When Penn State absolved Mike Mann of wrongdoing, and the University of East Anglia did the same for Phil Jones, they cannot have been unaware of the financial penalty for doing otherwise. Since I am no philosopher, I'm not going to explore at just which point enlightened self-interest crosses the line into corruption, but a careful reading of the ClimateGate releases makes it clear that this is not an academic question. I want no part of it, so please accept my resignation. APS no longer represents me, but I hope we are still friends. Hal, closed quote. Chapter 7. The Man That Got Away. Case closed? Quote, the impression man gives is that all he cares about is saving his own reputation. Closed quote. Professor Reiner Grundmann, Ph.D. Man Angry at Wall Street Journal article. D. Clemens Weibel, 2010. Here's Mark. Mann has played fast and loose with details all his professional life, from his original innocent errors on the hockey stick to his innocent promotion of himself as a Nobel Prize winner. But when you're calling in effect for the entire reorientation of the global economy, even innocent mistakes have consequences. By 2006, McIntyre and McKittrick had inflicted sufficient damage on the hockey stick for the United States Congress and the National Academy of Sciences both to appoint expert panels to investigate the matter. 4 years later, another handful of committees would look into the ClimateGate leaks at the University of East Anglia. Mann would later claim in his court pleadings that he had been, quote-unquote, exonerated by at least eight different bodies on both sides of the Atlantic. Indeed, his, quote-unquote, amended complaint, amended after having to withdraw the original over his false claim to be a Nobel Prize recipient, has an entire section called, quote, The Exoneration of Dr. Mann, close quote. Most of the bodies that he claims exonerated him, including, so he says, the British House of Commons, in fact, never investigated him. But a lazy enviro press was generally content to take him at his own estimation, and those official reports that did address aspects of his science were generally written with a circumlocutory evasiveness that does not reflect well on their authors. Yet a close reading of the actual documents, as opposed to the fawning press coverage, is devastating to both the credibility and the integrity of Mann's science. The National Research Council, for example, was prepared to stand by the hockey stick only post-1600. That's to say, the Little Ice Age and the world's emergence therefrom, which was the conventional wisdom long before man was born. So his principal contribution to science, the repeal of the medieval warm period, was itself repealed. The NRC also slapped man down on withholding data. Quote, "The committee recognizes that access to research data is a complicated, discipline-dependent issue, and that access to computer models and methods is especially challenging because intellectual property rights must be considered. Our view is that all research benefits from full and open access to published datasets, and that a clear explanation of analytical methods is mandatory. Peers should have access to the information needed to reproduce published results, so that increased confidence in the outcome of the study can be generated inside and outside the scientific community." Close quote. Mark. Even while he was claiming to have been exonerated by the NRC, Mann ignored its findings. He and his chums continued to obstruct access to their computer codes and raw data. As for his actual science, the NRC tap-danced around like Michael Flatley in the Dublin premiere of Tree Dance. This is a fine example of their style. Quote, "Reconstructions that have poor validation statistics, i.e. low CE, will have correspondingly wide uncertainty bounds, and so can be seen to be unreliable in an objective way. Moreover, a CE statistic close to zero or negative suggests that the reconstruction is no better than the mean, and so its skill for time averages shorter than the validation period will be low. Some recent results reported in Table 1S of Wall and Amon indicate that their reconstruction, which uses the same procedure and full set of proxies used by Mann et al., gives CE values ranging from 0.103 to 0.215, depending on how far back in time the reconstruction is carried." Close quote. Professor Ross McKittrick unpeeled the obfuscations and helpfully translated. Quote, "Reconstructions can be assessed using a variety of tests, including RE, R2, and the coefficient of efficiency, CE scores. If the CE score is near zero or negative, your model is junk. Wall and Amon include a table in which they use Mann's data and code and compute the test scores that he didn't report, and the CE scores range from near zero to negative, which tells us that Mann's results were junk." Close quote. Nevertheless, Mann got quite a long way simply by claiming that everyone who ever investigated him gave him a clean bill of health, and knowing that the environmental media would never check a thing. In his legal pleadings, Mann claimed to have been exonerated by Lord Oxborough's committee. But in his book, The Hockey Stick and the Climate Wars, he says his work did not fall within the remit of the committee. So which is it? Is Mann lying to the court, or is he lying to his book customers? In fact, his only quote-unquote exoneration came in the Penn State inquiry set up by the university's president, Graham Spanier, a man now under criminal indictment and facing 20 years in the slammer for obstruction of justice and child endangerment in the Sandusky matter. The average eco-activist interviewing Mann is happy to drool like a tiger bee interviewer, albeit a slightly out-of-touch one, still besotted over last decade's teen idol. Nonetheless, taken as a whole, the investigations do not give Mann science a clean bill of health, but make plain just how toxic and malodorous it is. Scientist number 61, quote, "Mann et al. Used a type of principal component analysis that tends to bias the shape of the reconstructions." Close quote. Dr. Gerald R. North, Ph.D. et al. Gerald North is Distinguished Professor of Meteorology and Oceanography at Texas A&M University. Franco Biondi is Associate Professor of Physical Geography at the University of Nevada, Reno. Peter Bloomfield is Professor of Statistics at North Carolina State University, Raleigh. John Christie is Director of the Earth System Science Center at the University of Alabama in Huntsville. Kurt Cuffey is Professor of Geography at the University of California, Berkeley. Robert Dickinson is a professor at Georgia Institute of Technology's School of Earth and Atmospheric Sciences. Ellen Druffel is professor of Earth System Science at the University of California, Irvine. Douglas Nitschke is a senior scientist at NCAR, the National Center for Atmospheric Research. Bette Otto-Bliesner is a scientist in NCAR's Climate and Global Dynamics Division. Neil Roberts is the head of the University of Plymouth School of Geography. Carl Turekian is the Sterling Professor of Geology and Geophysics at Yale University. John Wallace is director of the Joint Institute for the Study of the Atmosphere and Ocean at the University of Washington, Seattle. Mark. The first investigation into Manstick was published by the National Research Council of the National Academies in June 2006. In its report on surface temperature reconstructions for the last 2,000 years, Professor North and his colleagues concluded, quote, "It can be said with a high level of confidence that global mean surface temperature was higher during the last few decades of the 20th century than during any comparable period during the preceding four centuries. This statement is justified by the consistency of the evidence from a wide variety of geographically diverse proxies. Less confidence can be placed in large-scale surface temperature reconstructions for the period from AD 900 to 1600. Very little confidence can be assigned to statements concerning the hemispheric mean or global mean surface temperature prior to about AD 900, because of sparse data coverage and because the uncertainties associated with proxy data and the methods used to analyze and combine them are larger than during more recent time periods." Close quote. Mark. So less confidence for the years 900 to 1600 and very little confidence for pre-900 AD? So the only part of the hockey stick to which the NRC was prepared to give a quote-unquote high level of confidence was that late 20th century temperatures were the highest of the preceding four centuries, i.e. since the Little Ice Age. That's not a breakthrough finding by Michael Mann. It was the conventional wisdom long before Mann got his PhD, indeed, long before he was born. So for the NRC to give a clean bill of health to the hockey stick for the year 1600 to 1998 is equivalent to declaring that the hockey stick tells us nothing. Along the way, however, the NRC makes some very telling criticisms of Mann. Page 113, quote, "Mann et al. Used a type of principal component analysis that tends to bias the shape of the reconstructions." Close quote. Scientist number 62, quote, "We had much the same misgivings about his work." Close quote. Dr. Peter Bloomfield, Ph.D., professor of statistics at North Carolina State University, fellow of the Royal Statistical Society, fellow of the American Statistical Association, and fellow of the Institute of Mathematical Statistics, member of the Hydraulic Fracturing Research Advisory Panel to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, former chairman of the Department of Statistics at Princeton University, visiting fellow at the Climatic Research Unit, University of East Anglia, and lecturer at Imperial College of Science and Technology. Mark. The statistician on the NRC hockey stick investigation, Professor Bloomfield, testified under oath before Congress in July 2006. Quote, Joe Barton, chairman of the House Committee on Energy and Commerce. "We know that Dr. Wegman has said that Dr. Mann's methodology is incorrect. Do you agree with that? I mean, it doesn't mean Dr. Mann's conclusions are wrong, but we can stipulate now that we have, and if you want to ask your statistician expert from North Carolina that Dr. Mann's methodology cannot be documented and cannot be verified by independent review." Gerald North, NRC panel chair. "Do you mind if he speaks?" Barton. "Yes, if you would like to come to the microphone." Peter Bloomfield. "Thank you. Yes, Peter Bloomfield. Our committee reviewed the methodology used by Dr. Mann and his co-workers, and we felt that some of the choices they made were inappropriate. We had much the same misgivings about his work that was documented at much greater length by Dr. Wegman." Ed Whitfield, chairman of the Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigation. "If I may interrupt just 1 minute, we didn't swear you in, so I want you to swear now that the testimony you gave was the truth." Witness sworn. Whitfield, "Thank you." Close quote. Mark. 4 years later, David Hand, president of the Royal Statistical Society, would observe that the hockey stick had used inappropriate methods. Mann responded. Quote, "I would note that our 98 article was reviewed by the U.S. National Academy of Sciences, the highest scientific authority in the United States, and given a clean bill of health. In fact, the statistician on the panel, Peter Bloomfield, a member of the Royal Statistical Society, came to the opposite conclusion of Professor Hand. Close quote. No, he didn't. He used exactly the same word, inappropriate. Professor Richard Smith, no denier, and an eminent University of North Carolina statistician, writing on both the North and Wegman reports for the American Statistical Association newsletter, was even blunter. Quote, at the core of the controversy is an incorrect use by man at all of principal components. Close quote. Scientist number 63, quote, it is very surprising that research in an area that depends so heavily on statistical methods has not been carried out in close collaboration with professional statisticians. Close quote. Professor the Lord Oxborough of Liverpool, KBE, FRS et al. Ron Oxborough is a geologist, geophysicist, member of the House of Lords Select Committee on Science and Technology, deputy chairman of Singapore's Science and Engineering Research Council, member of Hong Kong's University Grants Committee, and formerly chief scientific advisor to the United Kingdom's Ministry of Defense and head of the Department of Earth Sciences at the University of Cambridge. Hugh Davies is head of the Dynamical Meteorology Group at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Zurich. Carrie Emanuel is Cecil and Ida Green Professor of Atmospheric Sciences at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Lisa Gromlich is Dean of the University of Washington's College of the Environment. David Hand is a former president of the Royal Statistical Society. Herbert Hubert is Professor of Theoretical Geophysics, and Michael Kelly is Professor of Solid-State Electronics and Nanoscale Science, both at the University of Cambridge. Mark, after the ClimateGate revelations, there were several quote-unquote investigations of the CRU. Lord Oxborough's, published in April 2010, was widely regarded as perfunctory and beyond parody, as Labour Member of Parliament Graham Stringer described it. Among its conclusions, quote, we saw no evidence of any deliberate scientific malpractice in any of the work of the Climatic Research Unit, and had it been there, we believe that it is likely that we would have detected it. Rather, we found a small group of dedicated, if slightly disorganized, researchers who were ill-prepared for being the focus of public attention. As with many small research groups, their internal procedures were rather informal. 2. We cannot help remarking that it is very surprising that research in an area that depends so heavily on statistical methods has not been carried out in close collaboration with professional statisticians. Indeed, there would be mutual benefit if there were closer collaboration and interaction between CRU and a much wider scientific group outside the relatively small international circle of temperature specialists. Close quote. Mark, this was a recommendation that had been made and ignored for years. See Professor Smith and Zydek earlier. Graham Stringer, a Labour member of the House of Commons Science and Technology Committee, and an analytical chemist by profession, was horrified by the report. On the point about the climate community's isolation from professional statisticians, he remarked, quote, this is the equivalent of claiming medical competence whilst operating on a patient without an anesthetist. Closed quote. Scientist number 64. Quote, that is turning centuries of science on its head. Close quote. Professor Michael Kelly, FRS, FRENG, PhD. Prince Philip Professor of Technology at the University of Cambridge and Professorial Fellow at Trinity Hall. Former Chief Scientific Advisor to the UK Department for Communities and Local Government. Fellow of the Royal Society, the Royal Academy of Engineering, the Royal Society of New Zealand, the Institute of Physics, the Institution of Engineering and Technology, and senior member of the U.S. Institute of Electronic and Electrical Engineering. Recipient of prizes from the Institute of Physics, the Royal Academy of Engineering, and the Royal Society. Former executive director of the Cambridge MIT Institute. In his notes for the Oxborough investigation, Professor Kelly remarked, quote, I take real exception to having simulation runs described as experiments without at least the qualification of computer experiments. It does a disservice to centuries of real experimentation and allows simulations output to be considered as real data, This last is a very serious matter, as it can lead to the idea that real data might be wrong simply because it disagrees with the models. That is turning centuries of science on its head. Close quote. Mark. That idea would manifest itself very strongly as Mann and co. devoted their energies to figuring out how to recalibrate reality to fit their models. Professor Kelly also said, quote, up to and throughout this exercise, I have remained puzzled how the real humility of the scientists in this area, as evident in their papers, including all these here, and the talks I have heard them give, is morphed into statements of confidence at the 95% level for public consumption through the IPCC process. This does not happen in other subjects of equal importance to humanity, example, energy futures or environmental degradation or resource depletion. I can only think it is the authority appropriated by the IPCC itself that is the root cause. Close quote. Mark. Michael Kelly is perhaps being a little naive here. There is no, quote-unquote, IPCC, other than a few administrators in Switzerland, and Rajendra Pachero jetting back and forth between cricket matches in India and climate conferences of nubile young activists around the globe. In practice, the IPCC is the small group of scientists who control its content. So the work of, quote-unquote, humble scientist Michael Mann got morphed into 95% confidence by not-so-humble IPCC lead author Michael Mann. In his notes, Professor Kelly posed a good question to Keith Briffa that could equally be asked of Mann and Jones. Quote, given that the outputs of your work are being used to promote the largest revolution mankind has ever contemplated, do you have any sense of the extent to which the quality control and rigor of approach must be of the highest standards in clear expectation of deep scrutiny? Close quote. The answer would seem to be no. In February 2012, Professor Kelly wrote to the Times in London, quote, the interpretation of the observational science has been consistently over-egged to produce alarm. All real-world data over the last 20 years has shown the climate models to be exaggerating the likely impacts. If the models cannot account for the near term, why should I trust them in the long term? Close quote.